人生是一本书，每一段时光都是一段难忘的故事。
就让我们在此刻分享我们的故事。欢迎收听西雅图中文广播美国故事栏目。
美国故事栏目由高邦地产公司总裁建筑商胡秀平 Shelly Hu 冠名播出，电话425-443-5668。
Asian American community members and against all acts of hate. A hate crime against one community is a crime against us all. These crimes must be attacked and the individuals responsible must be held accountable.The city of Renton is an extremely diverse, inclusive, and welcoming city. And our primary goal is to protect our residents and promote mutual respect for every community member. So, we are extremely proud that Governor Jay Inslee chose Renton to host and stand by the American, our Asian American community.And in support, we are with you and we stand in solidarity. Thank you. And next up will be Toshiko Grace Hasegawa. Thank you.
I have a tall wish list of the type of world I wish to see for her. But today, on my first day back from maternity leave,Here we gather because the acts of hate and violence have once again struck the soul of our country. Members of the public are not just afraid. They are angry. They want justice. They want to feel safe when they walk the streets, and they want accountability for hate speech. They want offenders of bias-motivated hate crimes brought to justice.Anti-Asian sentiment has always existed. It has only intensified since the outbreak of COVID-19 because of anti-immigrant, anti-Chinese, and pro-white supremacist rhetoric stoked as part of a political platform. Consequently, the alarming incidence of violence against Asians that we see today is consistent with the growth of hate crimes targeting communities of color that we have observed statewide for the past 5 years.As we collectively grieve as a community, united, we name out loud that discrimination, hate, and violence have been culturally, politically, and structurally supported throughout American history and continues today. The seeds of hate were intentionally sown and watered, and we must weed them out.CAPA stands strong in its resolve to challenge systems that uphold the exploitation and victimization of vulnerable people. We are committed to continuing to make space as a commission and a community to hold crucial conversations interracially and intersectionally, to dismantle systems of oppression bringing harm to BIPOC, women,LGBTQ+, immigrant, refugee, and all other people historically targeted for acts of hate and bigotry. And importantly, we stand proud as people of Asian ancestry whose communities have enriched this state's history, our economy, and our culture for generations. Even as grief weighs heavy on our backs, we will not bend. Our fight for social justice continues.
Before I begin, I want to acknowledge that we are here in the aftermath of a great American tragedy where we witnessed the murder of 8 people, 6 of whom are Asian women. And before I begin with the rest of my statement, it's important that we invite their spirits and their names into this space.Sung Chong Park, age 74. Hyung Jong Grant, age 51. Sung Cha Kim, age 69. Young Yu, age 63. Delana Ashley Young, age 33. Paul Andre Michaels, age 54. Chow Ji Tan, age 49, and Gao Yufeng, age 44. It is important that we call their names into this case to ensure that this is not a one moment in time recollection. Because the fact is, anti-Asian violence, anti-Asian bias, and xenophobia have been with us in this country for centuries. But particularly since the rise of the coronavirus, anti-Asian acts of violence have been on the rise. You all know that more than 3,800 incidents have been reported to stop AAPI hate since last year. How can we already forget the family in Midland, Texas, innocently shopping for their weekly groceries at a Sam's Mart, encountering somebody filled with anti-Asian violence and hate in his heart, stabbing little boys ages 6 and 8? Or how can we forget the elderly woman in her 70s who was pushed in front of a New York subway? That was intent to kill. And yet, here we are again. When will it stop? You know, one of the great Asian Pacific American civil rights leaders, Grace Lee Boggs, once told us, change will not happen unless we take responsibility. And so, as a state legislator, since March of 2020, I have been leading, on behalf of the National Asian Pacific American Caucus of State Legislators, a special committee on anti-Asian violence and xenophobia, where we, as state legislators across the country, have been grappling with the fact that there's no common reporting center, there's no common way to address hate crimes, and even worse, when it comes to addressing API hate crimes, there is a lack of knowledge. So when you hear my community saying, I am not your virus, I am not your scapegoat, they're also saying, I'm not your geisha girl, and I'm not your computer geek. I am an individual because we have not been silent. But nobody is listening to us. And that has to change. So today, we want everyone to take responsibility, beginning with the members of the community. We need you to take responsibility and speak up, report incidences of hate. Just this weekend, I heard about a woman who was shopping in Costco last year who was accosted. And she was just so taken aback, she didn't know what to do in front of her child. I told her, you can still report it. It's not too late. So if you have been a victim of racial bias, racial harassment, racial crime, report it. We need to know the numbers and bring visibility to this horrific crime. We also ask on our allies to be our allies. When you see something, say something. Stand up. Because these cowards are preying on people that they perceive as vulnerable, women and elderly. Take bystander training. As my good friend, the executive director of CAPA, just mentioned, we also have to deal with our own internal biases amongst our communities. I feel so fortunate to have been the widow of one of the Gang of Four who taught us here in this region, no other place in the country has the same model of multicultural coalition building and action and activism. We can do that again. Thirdly, I call on all of our public policy makers, elected and non-elected. In order to affect change, you have to take responsibility. There is a bill in the legislature right now that has died that would have made hate crimes against persons a felony. So there is a hate crime that can be charged if it's against a building. But if it's against any one of you or any one of your families because of perceived racial, ethnic, gender, religious, homophobic perceptions, it's not going to be charged as a hate crime felony. Public officials, we need to change that. We cannot tolerate this anymore. And today, we stand up for the 8 women who came here mostly as, excuse me, they're not all women, 8 victims, but the women who came here as immigrants, who worked hard, one of whom has a connection to our region, having raised the boys here before she relocated them across the country. Let us recommit to saying we will make the change, we will be the change, and we will take responsibility.
Violence against Asians and Pacific Islanders in our state is totally unacceptable. It has to end. And I am calling on every Washingtonian to wrap our arms around this threatened community and give it the strength and the solidarity and the commitment to do everything possible to end this hideous virus. This was not a Chinese virus of COVID. It is a virus of hate and fear that too often has been fanned by some political figures for political purposes. And this itself is a virus, and we must defeat it. It is dangerous. In some cases, as in Atlanta, it is fateful. And we must call upon all people, including our elected officials, to raise their voices against it wherever this virus arises. When we had a figure in our country, the highest elected official of the United States, call this a Chinese virus and an Asian flu, where were the voices speaking against that, fanning the flames of this hatred and fear? We need these voices to speak up, of every official and every party, against acquiescence. Silence against the virus of hate is acquiescence. And I'm calling for everyone to speak out against it today. Because we are not seeing it just on the streets of Georgia. We're seeing it here in Washington State. A teacher from Inglemore High School ought to be able to walk the streets of Washington State safely, without fear. And we've got a lot of work to do to make sure that that is the case. Now, there's another thing that we have to recognize. This is unfortunately not the only unique experience of hatred and fear against this community in our state. It has happened before. We have a sorry past of when the people from China built our railroads came here and then were rejected. Right across from where I live, I look across at the first place the Japanese American citizens were removed by the United States Army. Camps. 79 years ago this month. We have seen this hatred and fear before, but it still exists, and those seeds are now fertile, unfortunately, in our state. And we must speak against it. And we need to be united in all communities. This is not the only hatred and fear. The black community, the indigenous communities, women have been subject to this hatred and fear. And we must be united against it. So I'll just close my comments by quoting what the Japanese Exclusion Memorial says on Bainbridge Island. Nidoto Naiyoni. Nidoto Naiyoni. Let it not happen again. Let this violence not happen again. Raise our voices and make sure that that is the case. Now, I want to introduce a tremendous leader who joined a religious leader recently and had a tremendous impact. Representative Violet, come on up. Representative Violet.
Representative Santos, who has been a mentor, who has helped me in my path of being able to speak up for my community, for the people who put trust in me in this space. I am grieving with my Asian American community. From the brutal acts of hate in Atlanta to the increasing attack here in King County. This rise of anti-Asian violence is a continuation of xenophobia Asian Americans have experienced throughout our history. In the last year, Washington ranked third highest in the nation of reporting hate crime targeting Asian Americans. Over the weekend, when I checked in with my 72-year-old auntie, who told me she's now too afraid to take a walk from her apartment to downtown Renton Library. Here, the only thing that she finds solace throughout this pandemic. The violence against AAPI isn't new, as we all heard. When we continue to uphold the racist system. To stop Asian hate, we must write laws that dismantle white supremacy. We must reimagine public safety to support the movement for black lives. We must end violence against all community of color by protecting the right to housing, supporting low-income families, and shut down the Northwest Detention Center. The work to end Asian hate must also acknowledge violence through the objectification of Asian women, the distinct vulnerability of low-income immigrants, women, and the unjust deportation of refugees. At the legislature, we are committing to breaking down systemic racism in Washington to build stronger democracy. I ask you to join me. Just like a family, when one of us hurts, all of us hurt. I'm calling for the focus on Southeast Asian community, Pacific Islanders community, and the Native Hawaiian community in our state. I stand with my Asian American siblings to make our pain visible and call for community-centered healing. Justice knows no limits when we rise together with strength, with hope, and with joy to uplift our dignity and our humanity. Thank you for being here.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
现在是美国西部时间晚上十点整，这里是西雅图中文电台。
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Chinese Radio Seattle.
声声有情。
1150 AM 西雅图中文电台，
这里是您的信息中心，
这里是您的心灵港湾，
这里是您的精神家园，
西雅图华人自己的中文电台。
朋友们也可以在网上收听我们的节目，收听网址是 ChineseRadioSeattle.com，
也可以通过智能手机下载 Chinese Radio Seattle 或者西雅图中文电台 APP 来收听我们的节目。
我们的高清调频频道是 FM98.9 Channel 3，
我们的微信平台、新浪微博和 Facebook 账号都是 Chinese Radio Seattle。
新冠疫情期间，保持距离的意义已经不同以往了。现在，保持6英尺或者1.8米的距离，表示的是尊重、关怀，甚至是爱。为了您的家人、朋友、同事，还有您自己的健康，请保持6英尺的距离，以减缓新冠病毒的传播。这样，您就可以与您所爱的人保持联系的同时，降低风险。见面的时间要短，规模要小，请务必保持6英尺的距离，并戴上口罩。本广告由华盛顿州卫生部赞助播出。
华盛顿州法律保护工人的权利。如果您的雇主否认您的工作权利，比如不能保障最低时薪、 午餐时间和休息时间，以及安全健康的工作环境，那么州劳工和工业部可以为您提供帮助。如果您对自己的权利有疑问，请致电就近的 LNI 办公室，或者致电免费电话1-866-219-7321。
我要去店里买东西，马上回来。你有没有想要的？
记得拿新口罩。
但这个还可以用耶。
你已经戴好多次，看起来都变松了。我们要和以往一样，高度警戒，才能帮助减缓病毒的散播。继续戴服贴的口罩，保持6英尺的社交距离，避免群聚。轮到你注射疫苗时，就要去接种。还有，勤换口罩。
好好好，真是杞人忧天。
新的变种病毒都出现了，可能更容易传播哎。现在可不是松懈的时候。
嗯，你说的对。
而且你想当全家人的榜样，不是吗？
当然了，那还用说？
抗击疫情，我们做得到。了解更多以保护自己和家人，请上网 cdc.gov/coronavirus。以上资讯由 HHS 美国卫生及公共服务部提供。
Very beginning, plagued our country. We all know the struggle over the last year in the pandemic has taken a toll on everyone in our community. But it is heartbreaking to see that our Asian Pacific Islander brothers and sisters are having to endure this, and endure it now. The shame of racist smears and slurs from former president of the United States during this public health crisis clearly ignited some of what was simmering beneath the surface and made the systemic inequities and discrimination worse and helped fuel the rise of hate that we're seeing in this community and across the nation today. White supremacy and hate cannot be tolerated in King County, in Washington State, anywhere in the United States of America. We have to join together to drive it out with our collective light, and to shine that light toward the common ground that can unite us as we work together and heal this divide. I want to be clear to everyone who's feeling the attacks of the recent months. King County government, the people of Martin Luther King County, stand with you. Last summer, as we stood with the black community in that moment of reckoning when somehow white America was suddenly stirred to reality about what has been going on in this nation for centuries, I said we have to do more, we have to do better, we have to stand up together to speak out, to confront those who hate. It is a constant fight, generation after generation, to make this nation live up to the words of its founding and to live up to its genuine promise. And today we look to each other for inspiration in that ongoing battle. King County is joined in the fight against Asian hate. Now this week I am announcing how we're investing in our community with the American Rescue Plan. We, of course, are going to be funding the COVID response, funding continued prevention, funding expanded vaccines, particularly into communities that have been marginalized and have had less access and have had greater rates of infection. But I am also investing in the battle against another virus, the virus of racism and of racial hate and of racially motivated violence. Today, I'm announcing the first part of our rescue plan funding, where we will provide $5 million in grants to community-based organizations to increase funding for anti-hate and bias response and to support the Coalition Against Hate and Bias. That is a coalition of 8 organizations, some of which are coalitions themselves. Who reach out to the community, who collect the reports, the incidents of hate and hate-based violence, who shine a light on what is going on in the community, because we know that through education and visibility, we can help deter that violence and that hate. That will also include grants to ethnic media, because we need to be able to communicate. It's not enough just to know what's going on. We have to be able to tell the people. And we're going to have that media available in many languages to help educate the public about racism as a public health crisis, which I and Public Health Director Patty Hayes declared in King County last year. We want people to be able to understand how to join in the battle against racism through a public health approach. I'll be announcing much more about our plans for the American Rescue Plan later this week, but I want you to know that King County is using this opportunity, is using this moment to invest more deeply in community. Building an anti-racist government is not easy. Building an anti-racist institution, public or private, takes an enormous amount of work and reflection and the willingness to be vulnerable. But the investments and the accountability and the work ahead, difficult as they may be, are work that has to be done. Work that we have to do, and we have to do together. King County is a place where all are welcome, a place where we are determined that every person will have the opportunity to thrive. That is our true north. That is the goal toward which we are driving. This must be a place where every person can live their life free of hate and free from violence. We will not let the tyranny of hate stand unchallenged. And all of us here today want to show the strength of this incredibly diverse and intertwined community. We, and when I say we, I really mostly mean white people, must embrace the humanity and the value of every person, every neighbor, every family member, every person in this nation. When hate and violence affects one of us, it affects all of us. And all of us are here together to call for an end to hate and to move this nation forward. It's now my pleasure to hand it over to one of our hosts today, Renton City Council member Kim Kanban.
I stand on the shoulders of our giants, our elders, our ancestors. I thank the Tsleil-Waututh Colors tribes, the Duwamish tribes, and the folks that have stewards the land and are sharing this land with us. Thank you. I come as a former refugee, a proud immigrant, a public school graduate, a 10-year of practicing immigration law, and as an attorney, as a daughter, as an Asian American, as a woman, I stand in front of you. And those are the lived experiences and professional experience that I've had in my short 36 years of life on this earth. But it's the experience of, where are you from? What country are you from? No, really. What's your citizenship? What's your nationality? Oh, you don't speak with an accent. Like, thank you. Thank you, my friends, my community members. That's how I come into the space. And when I hear stories of the kindergartner in our school district getting called your Chinese virus because your parents are from China, even though you're born here. When I hear a black community member in Renton, just across the way on Grady Way, getting a gun pointed at her because she's black, driving while black. When I see our elders across the nation getting slammed at the pavements and died, and the murder of the 6 Asian American women who got just tragically their life had taken away from them and from our families, our loved ones across the nation. I grieved with you all. I grieved with our Asian American survivors community. I grieved with our community, our American community, because the Asian American experience is the American experience. And that as we grieve, we all grieve. We don't grieve alone. And as the executive mentioned, the King County Equity and Social Justice Office of Social Justice, the Coalition in King County Anti-Hate and Bias that had started last year. I was a volunteer because at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, we were called Chinese virus. We were called this. We were called Kung Flu. I didn't like that. And I don't think that's wrong to say. I'm just as American as everyone else. Why is the kindergartner being called that? So I volunteer my time because I understand it's a regional issue. It is an American issue that my neighbor should not be grieving. And up until now, as my volunteer time with community members like in CISC, which is Chinese Information Service Center, with Eastside for All, we have United Indians of All Tribe Foundation in there, Vietnamese American of community of Seattle, Snohomish, King Counties. We've documented regionally of at least 400 cases. But remember, what about the untold stories? The untold stories of the little ones, of our veterans, of our seniors. We are not just here just to survive. We are here to thrive. And this is, for us collectively, our collective American experience. And I ask of you that not that we only drive out Asian hate, we drive out white supremacy. We drive out the individualistic ideology of our Western society and really learn that collectively we can do more, that we are stronger together, that we are definitely stronger together. And as we speak here with this press conference, 11 miles away in the Chinatown International District, there are folks holding vigils for those six Asian Americans lost lives. And I ask you to remember of them and remember of our elders being slammed to the pavement. And I ask you to volunteer, to speak up, to speak out. And as of those who are elected officials in this room and abroad, across our nation, I ask you to share in this American experience with us, whether you're AAPI, whether you're BIPOC, non-BIPOC, because this is an American experience. And that as electeds, we are having the seat of the dais, that we need to speak up, speak out, pass policies, legislation, laws that do matter to our community. Make sure there's community-based solutions. Make sure that you understand experience. Even if you don't have the lived experience, reach out. That's the least you can do. But when you denounce hate, don't denounce it broadly. If it's affecting a certain community, make sure you understand that you mention that community in there. Just that one word, AAPI, means a lot. So I ask you all, through compassion, accountability, and centering community, that we move forward and heal, but we cannot heal without accountability. And I have hope for us in Renton, in King County, and as a nation. So thank you, my neighbors. Thank you, friends.
The Chinese Exclusion Act. The females in my family were not able to come to the U.S., and I am first generation, even though my family's been here since the 1860s. I'm a product of government actions in the past. We are Asian American, and this is our home. Our Asian communities are not doing okay. Our businesses are struggling. Attacks on Asian Americans in our communities aren't new. They have been happening. They're underreported and definitely not caught on camera. The Chinatown International District houses about 1,000 vulnerable seniors. And these seniors don't feel like it's safe to come out of their homes after 4 p.m. Violence against Asian Americans, especially our elderly, has to stop. Standing up here are the young adults leading this movement. They are the leaders of the Asian American Pacific Islander Against Hate. We denounce acts of violence against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. Amidst this current surge of hate crimes and incidents, we are a coalition of nonprofits, community leaders, individuals, and young scholars combating hate, bias, and systemic racism against our communities. We are based in King County. We are led by these youth and supported by elders, aunties, and uncles in the community. We are an intergenerational movement among AAPI community members. So these youth are fighting a pandemic of hate. This group was created to raise awareness about hate and bias in our local communities. We believe survivors and urge them to please report if something has happened to them. We want to work with our elected officials and together co-create community-based solutions to public safety. We will hold these officials accountable. And this past week, these amazing young adults have been holding rallies every day in different cities in King County, and these rallies will continue. So I am one of the supporting members of this coalition. I am with the Chinatown International District Night Watch. We are a group of volunteers that had come together early June after a devastating wave of rioters and looters went through our community. We patrol the streets of Little Saigon, Chinatown, and Little Japan Town every single night. We are a community-based initiative that started as an alternative to maximum force policing. We've broken up fights. I've met the unhoused. We check in on businesses and residents to make sure that everybody is okay. And we walk at night believing that we have strength in numbers. We urge the community to help police fund community organizations, organizations such as the Chinese Information and Service Center, who collect data and reports from non-English speakers in the community about hate crimes that have happened to them. We also work with the organization of Chinese Americans who are advocates of our community. We are powerful as a united voice when we stand together in solidarity against hate and bias. There is strength in our numbers, and we want justice for everyone. We will not tolerate racism, xenophobia, scapegoating, or stereotypes. That has to stop. We will not be silent. Thank you.
在庆祝新的开端的同时，清明节也是纪念我们祖先的时刻。我们邀请您访问在西雅图地区的 Evergreen Wachali 纪念公园、兰顿市的绿木纪念公园、或贝尔维优市落日山纪念公园，加入我们的清明节开放活动，为子孙后代创造一个长久的传奇。您将享受清明节特殊优惠，时间有限，请抓住机会，请致电206-539-1841206-539-1841来了解更多信息。
餐饮、
娱乐、
招聘、
交友、
买房、
投资、
演出，
请找西雅图中文电台。
中文电台广告使您梦想成真，最低收费每月仅仅$100，就有机会使您的生意或者活动家喻户晓。
赶快行动吧！广告热线206-619-8698。206-619-8698，
或者发 email 到 crsradio@gmail.com。
Crossings TV、Comcast 有线电视、Xfinity 152台，为西雅图华人观众送上豪华中文电视节目大餐。东方新闻、凤凰卫视新闻、非诚勿扰、一站到底、芝麻开门，每天还有精彩电视剧和更多资讯和娱乐节目。请记得收看 Crossings TV、Comcast 有线电视、Xfinity 152台。查询详细节目信息，请访问 www.crossingstv.com。
美国故事栏目由高邦地产公司总裁、建筑商胡秀平 Shirley Hu 冠名播出，电话425-443-5668。
He followed me and struck me in the face with what looked like a rock in a sock. He knocked me unconscious, leaving me with fractures in the nose and cheek, broken teeth.I'm still having persistent migraines, dizziness, and brain fog to a point where I can barely function. However, all of this pain was nothing compared to what came next. There is an arraignment hearing happening as we speak.The suspect will be charged with only 2 counts of second-degree assault, and not with first-degree assault or hate crime. In worst case, he could be freed after 12 to 14 months in prison, and could come back to Chinatown to attack more people. The prosecuting attorney's office hesitated competency and inability to prosecute this as a hate crime was much more hurtful than the attack itself. I have reasons to believe it was a hate crime. A non-Asian person came to a neighborhood known for its Asian population with a weapon already prepared, stood in a corner waiting for victims to arrive. When they did, he went out of his way to avoid a non-Asian male in order to strike an Asian female and try to walk away. If this is not a hate crime, then what is it? Even if he didn't say anything anti-Asian, his actions speak for themselves. Here I am, speaking as a survivor of a hate crime. Yet the legal system does not recognize my case as a hate crime. Even more shocking is that even if he's charged with a hate crime, it does not add any more jail time to the sentence. What is the message here? Does the legal system have any real interest in protecting Asian American community from hate crimes? I do not think so. And I'm not the only one. I feel as if I was abused twice. First by the attacker, and second by the legal system. Since the attack, so many people have contacted me and shared their own story of abuse. I'm just horrified to know that so many of us have experienced or are experiencing this hate, and yet nothing has been done. The system is not made for us. We feel ignored. We want justice, and we want action now.
What is your name?
And frankly, we're going to have to be on high alert against this hatred for years, because it doesn't just disappear with one election. It continues. And I think we have to judge prosecutorial decisions with that in mind.
Are you supporting or furthering any current legislation in our state capital in order to make this more of a reality for people like Anika?
At the moment, I don't believe there's current legislation pending, but I know that we will have discussions. One of the things Senator Santos talked about and Representative Tai is that it'd probably be better if we have a centralized way to collect information, even about harassment complaints, that may not even rise to a crime. So I know there will be discussion about having some centralized system for complaint coordination, if you will.
We have heard from other cities that say that they were talking about increasing police presence. I heard New York City was doing that, Seattle was doing that. Is there anything more practical that can be done to protect the Asian American community? Can there be more police officers doing more investigations, stuff like that?
Well, I believe that can happen, all while doing that in a nonviolent way that doesn't exacerbate the situation. But yes, there are things that can be done. And you heard from Tanya Wu, who just talked about those things as a community leader, of essentially embracing these communities as citizens in what I believe is an effective way. But I really do believe this, the solution to hatred and fear and violence is not just a law enforcement response. It's a response by giving people mental health treatment, by giving them housing solutions, by having adequate medical care, making sure educational systems stamps out systemic racism. This has to be a holistic response to this problem of fear and hatred. You can't just solve it with some law enforcement, and that's what we're involved in. It means having equity in our vaccine program, which we're working on. We're working with a number of Asian and Pacific Islander communities to make sure we have as much equity as possible in the distribution of our vaccines. So there's many things we have to do to stamp out hatred and fear. I'm not just one. trying to joke to him.
Is there anything else that you can do to press against more against hate crimes or maybe expediting for the police?
Well, yes. What the point I'm trying to make here is that we are affected by what we say. That has an impact. And unfortunately, some folks allowed the President of the United States to fan the flames of racial hatred against Asian and Pacific Islanders for 4 years. For 4 years. People did not stand up against it. So the first and most powerful thing we can do is to say we're not going to countenance that anymore. It's too dangerous. It's too violent. It's too harmful to everyone. So that's the first thing we're doing. It's what we're doing today. And we want to be very vocal in that regard. Now, there are other more practical ideas of what we talked about, of community healing and community empowerment and giving people a solution to the systemic racism that has so bedeviled this community, as well as other communities of color. And there are many things that go beyond the time we have in this press conference that are here. Yeah. Your question?
Yes. You mentioned education. Do you think we need to train the next generation not to hate?
Most definitely. And this is a powerful weapon against this virus of hate, and that is education. And I can tell you there's some really great education going on in our state. Our teachers are teaching social and emotional learning to be able to reduce anger and distrust of the other. It's a very powerful curriculum of social and emotional learning that's going on. I credit our educators for what they're doing today. You have to make sure it's available to every student in this regard.
There's some
from the ABI community. Anybody from ABI?
I have a question, Governor. So I just heard the speakers say, a group of three speakers say they are patrolling in the Chinatown in the International District. And I think they are young people and they are vulnerable themselves. So is it possible for the government to increase law enforcement to help them to protect the Chinatown and the International District?
Well, my understanding, there has been a request for some additional presence of officers to try to give people more security. But I would reiterate that cannot be the only solution to this problem. As long as people fan the flames of hatred, that's not going to solve the problem. All of us have to embrace this community. All of us have to speak out against people who will fan the flames of racial intolerance. And that's something we have to do on a daily basis. And we're going to have to keep at it. Because as I said, you don't wash away 4 years of this overnight. So we got more work to do.
My question actually is for Rico, if that's okay. Rico, thank you for being so brave and sharing your story. I feel like a lot of people are going to be, you know, thankful that you're able to speak out. I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked the governor. What would make you feel safer going out on the streets again? I think a lot of people would want to hear what you have to say about that.
It's a difficult question. Right now, I can't think.
Would you mind sharing with us then? You did such an eloquent job of letting us know exactly how you're feeling and how you're feeling victimized. Just every day when you wake up, do you think, I can't possibly go to the grocery store, I can't possibly leave? I mean, what are you thinking each day when you get up now, especially waiting for the person who attacked you to eventually go through the justice system?
I've been very fortunate that community came together to help me, for me, through this experience. I haven't gone grocery shopping since the attack. I haven't really gone out. I haven't gone back to Chinatown. I'm thinking when the suspect, when he's out of prison, I will probably have to change my name, change my work location, since all my information is out there.
Are you also fearful for your daughter?
Yes. My daughters, my students, everyone in the community, all my friends.
Noriko, if you were to go back to Chinatown today, would you feel safe?
Especially at night.
Sorry.
Anything else?
And a question for Tanya Wu. With your group, do you coordinate with the police as well with checking in on businesses and try to improve safety? And how do you coordinate with the, or if you do, coordinate with the Seattle Police?
In the evenings, when there is not a lot of police presence, and we feel that all the issues that we're dealing with and that we're seeing in the Chinatown International District could benefit with more social workers. And a lot of these incidences are happening when we're de-escalating fights or feeding the unhoused or checking in. We don't believe that we need more police presence necessarily, but we do need more resources and more services and just more support and help. And I believe that we need the businesses with, like, more police presence, but in tandem with resources and social workers and more support.
Yeah, I have a question for Governor Inslee. I would just like to reiterate what this gentleman said about education, because I feel like, I mean, like, these instances have been going on for way longer than 4 years, and I feel like it really starts with education. And I'm wondering how you specifically plan to integrate more Asian American history into our curriculum.
Well, I am hopeful that this has a response from our educational community, and I hope that social-emotional learning, which we're doing with very young children right now, can incorporate these lessons. I believe they do, but I'm going to check on that to make sure that that is the case.
Yeah.
I know that we're dealing with racism in our training, but I want to make sure it includes the Asian and Pacific Islander. I believe that it does, and based on your question, I will make sure that it does. I believe that that is the case.
Right.
Look, this can be really powerful. I've seen it. You know, we started this a few years back of teaching children conflict avoidance and how to deal with not being afraid of the other. And it works. I mean, it works with our young people. So I'm in favor of financing it. I'm in favor of educating teachers to make sure they know how to do it. And I'm thanking educators for doing it today. With that, I've got to go fight COVID. I want to thank everyone. Pray for peace and act against racism. Thanks a lot.